Now, I felt the Spirit of God instruct me. It's amazing how he has led us to this point, because he said, when the glory comes in, I want my people to see differently. Now, I want you to be seated. I'm going to share some things that he's asked me to share. Then we're going to finish worship. See, we can get so religious that we miss where God has with worship and then the word. See, you have to have both spirit and word to gain reality. And if ever we needed reality, it's now. Now, and so let's thank God that Judah has led us this far. Now, one of the reasons that I'm doing this is, see, where you are is how you gain your perspective. Therefore, I really want the Judah to be here in the tabernacle, not in the wellspring. Because it's that important to the Lord. Where you are is where you gain perspective. Say that out loud to somebody. Now, that means a lot of different things. One of the things it means comes out of Acts 17. And if ever we needed to start seeing differently, it's now. It's as if the Lord has taken us through a complete year. Now, hear what I'm saying to us. To make sure we see differently. Now, tell somebody, I don't want to go through this same year one more time.
Oh, I know that's right.
So, you need to be hoping you're seeing differently based upon what you have been through. And so that becomes very important. See, one of my favorite stories comes from Paul when he's in Athens. Athens is an ungodly place. And Paul has to find the right perspective to share what his life is about now. In other words, he's got to look around at all their gods to determine how is the message of God, the hope of glory in me, going to come forth. See, he can't run away from all their gods because that's all they've got all around them. And so finally he finds his statue devoted to the unknown God. Now, here's what I'm saying to you. No matter where you are, God in you wants to find his voice out. No matter what you're going through, God wants to find his voice out of you.
Come on.
And I'll share something in a moment that will help us, but that's where all of a sudden he uses that unknown God to give the message of the good news to the people of Athens. See, what if he would have seen that statue they had as just one of their idols? They would have never heard the gospel. And so in the midst of this, we have to understand God has got to do something within all of us to open our eyes.
Come on.
And that's where Paul begins to give this message of resurrection power, which we experienced and saw this morning. He gave this message, and then he said, God predetermined your time and your space. See, your time and place has been predetermined by the Lord. And that doesn't mean you can't be in the wrong place at the wrong time. That means God knew where he wanted you at a moment. And at that moment is where faith explodes. See? Faith works in time and place. Faith works in the circumstance of your time and place. And he said, if you're at the right time, at the right place, you can grab hold, grasp. Everybody just reach up and grasp. You can grasp him and find him because he's very near to you. Now, the reason that verse has always been one of the defining verses in my life is because I love art. And I grew up loving art, doing art. I love the creative ability that I see in people. And one of the words that predetermined means is pro-horizon. See, horizon is an art word, something you have to understand if you're an artist. That means you're going to have to look as far as you can look, to the furthest point, and then build your landscape backwards. And I think that's some things that God's trying to teach us right now. That we get caught up in the circumstance of the moment and we don't look to the furthest point that God reveals to us. And if you don't do that, you're not going to be able to see all that he is trying to do in you to explode your faith. Now that brings me to the title of what God said this week. He said, perspective. How will you see your future? In other words, future also is one of those words that means there's a place or a time you haven't gotten to yet. Therefore, these two things have to work together. How are you going to see the future? The word actually means in Greek, expected end. It means something that you're expecting to happen that you hadn't found yet. And if you ever lose future, you get caught in present. And you can actually end up back in your past. So we have to know that God has a future for us. Robert's favorite verse comes out of Jeremiah 29. I don't mean this to be a bad thing for you. Let me paraphrase it to the people that ended up in Babylon. The Lord speaking to them through the prophet Jeremiah. I don't mean this to be a bad thing for you. You're going to have to settle down, build houses. You're going to have to learn because I have a future and a hope for you. Just because you're going to be in Babylon for 70 years does not mean I don't have a future and a hope for you. One time I looked at somebody who was just the biggest mess ever, and I said, God is hoping for you. And then Pam looked at him and said, God isn't just hoping for you. God is hope.
Wow.
See, you've got to know that no matter what situation you're in, God has a future.
Yes, 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 yes.
God, future and hope go together. Now, here's something the Lord's dealing with us. Let me review for a moment. He's dealing with the expectation of our future. Now put your hand here. That means your emotional well-being. And expectation is linked with a function of your emotion. If your emotions are haywire, you're not going to see your future clearly. Therefore, we have to know in the midst of the expectation of our future, there is a new day ahead. Now, turn with me. I want to read these verses to you. I don't always do this, but I want you to see them. Isaiah 58, 8 through 13, because it's very pertinent to this last week. Seek the Lord Now I'm going to start at 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him for salvation while he's near. Same thing Paul was telling the people of Athens. Let the wicked lead behind his way. Sometimes we are so worried about all the wickedness that's going on there. And God said, let them leave. Let them leave. Let them go do it. Do you think he is as worried about some of us over all that wicked? That's why he says, fret not over evildoers. And he said, call on him. He said, let the unrighteous man have his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Even those who are wicked and unrighteous, he wants to call them back to him.
That's right.
And sometimes we despise them instead of knowing that God's perspective about them is, I wish they would return to me. He will have compassion and mercy upon them, and to our God, he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. Now that's perspective. How you're thinking, how you're acting. And he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now here's why it applies to us last week. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bear and sprout. God sent that so we become fruitful.
Come on.
See, that's God's perspective about it.
Come on.
And providing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Paul quotes this same verse over in Corinthians where he says, the seed you sow will return to you. It will not return void without accomplishing what I desire. This was not an easy week. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
It was a hard week. We all went through trials. Every one of you could be up here with a story.
Yep.
We all went through trials, every one of us. And yet, you look at the overall thing and you look back at what's been going on in Texas overall. Texas is an awesome state. It's been the place to be for COVID, but it wasn't a very good place to be for the deep freeze. See, I can't think of a better state to have been in during the first pandemic, but this last thing we went through, it was awful. And you know why? Because, and here's the thing with Chad and I, in January and February, Aaron with me usually, we travel all over. Usually they're the two busiest months of travel for me. And we go to places lots worse than what we experienced here.
Big time.
Lots more snow. We have been in blizzards.
Below 10.
Yeah, the lowest Brian and I were ever in was minus 38 in Calgary. And I thought to myself, why in the world did I want to speak here during this time of year? And the Lord said, I sent you. So he had something he wanted to teach me there. So you see, it wasn't the cold, it wasn't the snow, but Texas's infrastructure that they've rejected changing over the last 30 years, when they could have seen a new cycle in 1989, they kept using the same old cycle.
Wow.
Well, that's no different than a lot of us. We decide we like using what worked at a certain point. But if you keep on, it ain't gonna work. And so I'm saying, Lord, make sure they see this time.
Yes.
They didn't see it in 1989. They didn't see it in 2011. Make sure they see it in 2021. I don't want to go through this cycle 10 years later.
Come on.
See, God is working something. Look at somebody next to you and say, He's working it out on your behalf.
He's working it out.
Now, the reason we're doing Shabbat, not a religious reason. Daniel and Amber, you know, they lived in Israel for 10 years, and, you know, Shabbat can be real religious. They could get up here and tell us about it. But Shabbat was meant to give us right perspective. In other words, you work all week, you stop, you review all that you have been through in a week, then you gain a right perspective to move into the future. See, that's why Shabbat is becoming so important. Now, what is perspective? Because I see some of you looking at me. Now, remember at Shabbat 2 weeks ago, the Lord, you have to understand there's certain things when we prophesy or when we teach something, the Lord's trying to get a message to us. We just don't do that because we like to do it. We do it because we are called to do that. And 2 weeks ago, here was the message God wanted us for us at Shabbat. He said, I want to prepare you for a launching. I'm not going to redo that message, but that shows you what a prophetic portal here does. It gave you points to evaluate yourself so that you were prepared spiritually. The word preparation means to build a framework for your future. We're back there again. But if you ignore what God is trying to say for you, you're going to miss out on what it takes to understand your moment that He is setting up for you. Tell somebody next to you, you being set up.
Being set up.
You being set up. Now, Darren, you know, we can all try to keep things in order and try to control everything, but you being set up. Sooner or later, you're not going to be able to pull that off. Now, I want you to know that. And how you respond becomes a faith moment. Now, what is perspective? Let's look at this. And how are we moving through our emotions so we gain the right perspective? See, you need to be saying, God, you working some things out in me. You need to be working in me through all this. Father, I want to capture every awful thought I have about people.
Come on. Come on.
I want to capture everything I say about you.
Yes.
I want to capture about everything that's coming out of the inner being of my soul.
Yes.
So I can grab hold to this and come into a new place of faith. See, some of you have miracle gifts.
Come on.
But if you don't get this, that gift is going to go to the grave with you, and it's going to have to be passed on to somebody else.
Wow. Wow.
One that God didn't mean you to do miracles, but He couldn't get it out of you. It's got to come out of you. Tell somebody what's in you has to come out of you.
Wow.
That is a digestion principle. Now, this is what is causing the expectation. Go ahead, Brian. The expectation of our future to be built. Everything we've been going through is causing this to be built. What is perspective? The word actually means to look through. How you look through something is how you see. Not just concretely what's in front of you, but how you're looking through it is how you're seeing. That includes your attitude. It includes your frame of mind. Wow. It includes your approach to things. It includes your viewpoint. It includes your point of view. Those are two different things. Your viewpoint can be skewed and cause your point of view to get way off somewhere. The future of perspective is linked with your outlook on life. Therefore, if everything takes you out, if everything does you, kids, y'all need to hear this. Because you need to get a grip on it, on some of this. If every little thing takes you out, you're never going to have the clear perspective for your future.
That's right.
Because you got took out in the moment. See, so here's some things I want us to understand about perspective. See, that's why I wanted to stop when James and the team had brought us to this place where we were talking glory. Are you going to see things through glory? Are you going to see things through chaos?
Come on, CP. Come on. Come on.
Now, how are you viewing a situation or a crisis? Now, what does perspective really mean? It's the ability to, now think of what I said a minute ago, to see through and consider things accurately and fairly in relation to one another. In other words, you can't just look at one flake of snow that's coming down. Before long, you're having to look at everything that's relating to it. You can't look at just one member of your family. You have to see how that member of the family is affecting all of you. You know why God lets some of us have a position like this? It's because we have a perspective where we see all of you. And I don't want to just see everything from Robin's perspective, but I want to honor her perspective as we try to see our future. See, I think sometimes we forget why we're where we are. See, we've been through so much junk since last March, we're getting excited to see each other when we get to see each other.
Well, that's right.
See, we're not so familiar with each other anymore that, my God, I want to just get to church. I just want to get to church so I can see somebody I haven't seen in 6 weeks.
Amen.
Now, here's something else about perspective. If you're going to do any sort of art, you have to look at a flat object or an object on a curve. Then you have to see from different dimensions. See, the Word of God is multidimensional. And if you don't learn to read it multidimensional, you're going to see it from one dimension. You have to see how you look at an object aerial or from an alternative source structure or from an analytical standpoint. Some people look at everything analytically. Oh, I mean, I'm telling you, they can wear you down. Because they knew how that thing worked. And then all of a sudden, God threw a wrench in it. You have to see from the perspective of your gift. See, when you were created in your mother's womb, when he was knitting you together, he was knitting you together with a gift. You have a gift. You are gifted. Say it out loud. I am gifted.
I know that's right. I am gifted.
And that gift is irrevocable. You're not going to be able to get rid of it. You can reject it. You can try to ignore it, but you can't get rid of it.
That's right.
The Word of God says it's irrevocable.
Wow.
Because He put it in you when He was knitting you in your mother's womb. That's why I don't like to think about, and because the pain of abortion is awful if you've ever experienced any of that. But just think, we're killing gifts.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's the way you want to really think about it.
Yes.
And that gift might have been sent to cause us to prosper, and we've decided to move on from it.
Yep.
See? Now, you see everything out of that irrevocable gift in you. Therefore, if you never develop that gift in you, you're never going to see. And then you see something else. You see from the perspective of your tribe. You have to know your tribe. I saw so many people clueless in this crisis because they didn't know where they were connected or how to operate from their connections. There's a reason God put people in Judah's tribe. There's a reason He put them in Issachar's tribe. But then there's a reason He made them go to war together. Because they have different perspective. Now, this is so key to us. Now, how did you view the crisis from the past from what's been going on here? Amber gave a word about fear and not fearing as you move forward. 2 weeks ago, we've shown that word several times. Did you move out of fear, which can be a spirit? Are an emotion, the Bible calls it both ways, or did you move by cautious faith? See, it's a fine line in the way that we're operating in things. You have to be cautious. Fear as an emotion is a warning that shows you danger. But what it produces is cautious faith. Fear as a spirit produces unsoundness. Unsoundness. The Bible says you get crazy. Let me put it, bring it down to our term. You get crazy as a bat. You get crazy as a goose flying the wrong way. You don't think rationally. Your statements aren't rational. Did you see from a concrete standpoint? Because, you know, your perspective can just be like that. Did you see from a revelatory standpoint? And did you see from a creative standpoint? Were you aware of timing? See, I had to go back and look at a word that I gave over 2 years ago. Where it said we would be in a swamp for 2 years and 4 months in this nation. I recounted by day that word instead of just, you know, the way we do things. 2 years, that was 2021, October 11, that carries me to 2021. That was 2018, October 11. That carries me to 2021. And then here's 3 months, 4 months ahead. When I counted it by day, it landed on February the 18th. And the Lord said, now how are you looking at this? Based upon what I told you in October, on October the 11th, 2018. Then, remember what we've been operating in. We've been saying we got to understand the swamp. We've got to understand our giants. And we have to have an identity developed for the future. See, if you forget all of that prophetically, you're just in a moment, and a moment creates your future. Yeah. Now, I'm going to say that again. The moment creates your future. How you move by faith in a moment is also causing your future. Thank God that we can redeem time. He says that. Watch circumspectly, because days are evil. Redeem the times. That means you can buy back things if you mess up in things. You can come back to a certain point and start moving forward again.
Thank God for that.
Now, let me show you this from my perspective. Because remember what God did in me starting last March. He took me from traveling 578,000 miles the year before to stopping. My average flight was 500,000 miles a year. Gone all the time. Ministering, being with people all over the world. And now all of a sudden I say, Lord, what am I going to do? Well, Charisma asked me to write a book. Chosen asked me to write a book. But, you know, I love doing that, but I don't like doing that. I know the body needs that, and I know I'm capable. And so those were assignments. So you know what the Lord did? He took me to my backyard. And he said, I want you to see everything from this backyard. And how to move forward. Now, I want you to look at that. That's the water feature in our backyard. Now, think about it when it got down to zero. Think about it from the fish's perspective. So what Pam had to do at 3 o'clock every morning was go out and break the thick ice. Because she kept thinking from the fish perspective. I didn't think that way. We have different gifts that are irrevocable. Now, you look at that and you think, how is that a Texas water feature backyard? You know? Now, let's go back to something. So I had to look from the perspective of my backyard, and I've been doing it since March of last year. So when this crisis hits, I look back at our backyard. Now let me show you how that backyard is operating. When we bought that house, our house is on one electric system, the main, you know, the house we live in, but Pam has a she shed. I mean, more important than anything else. And then the guy we bought the house from had built a guest house in the back. And I thought, you know, when we bought that house, well, I can put my kids out there till they leave. That was my first perspective of it. The ones who hadn't left. But it always dawned on us, we have two different electrical systems. One goes with Denton in our backyard. The other one goes with a different structure here in Lake Cities. Therefore, when all of this crisis hit, our house went out. Went out, no water, no electric. But when you looked from the backyard, you saw the lights on in the she shed. Now, Pam was so excited. I was not that excited. All right? So she took the two cats, two dogs, the bird that doesn't like me but likes her, the bird, all of that, the horn, the that dragon thing we have. She took it. I mean, you know, we're talking about Dallas Zoo here. All into the she shed. Well, I had found my way somewhere, and she called me. She said, "You ain't gonna fit back here." She said, "There's no place for you in this she shed." See, now, she was so excited. I went out there to see her. Within 10 minutes, I had hives that tall on my whole body. Because I react to everything. You get my drill? Therefore, I'm going to have to find another place for God to speak to me. Because it ain't going to work in the she shed. All right. Now, something else I saw from this. I would talk to people and they would say, "This is so bad." Well, I was just driving everywhere on the interstate. Let me rephrase that. I was being driven everywhere on the interstate.
Thank you. Thank you. Somebody shout. Let's get it right.
John remembers it came back in 80. When we had one big thing and it snowed and ice, I pulled up to pick him up at church. He said, I can't believe I'm getting in the car with you. I said, I drive the same way on ice as I drive on dry land. It doesn't matter. Get in. It's all going to work the same. Just get in and hang on. But here was the point. If you just looked out into the perspective of your neighborhood, it was frozen. It was not frozen everywhere. And what you have to understand is, if you don't expand your perspective, you're going to miss your open thoroughfare in days ahead.
That's so good.
You're going to miss where God wants you to be in days ahead.
Wow.
And that's where you prosper. Here's something else. I saw people and all their needs. I love a story Jesus told me. There was this homeless man up on the bridge, and I mean, he was freezing to death. A policeman stopped, took his coat off, gave him his coat.
That's awesome.
So let's don't just rag on the police all the time.
Come on.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
But sometimes in church, we quit seeing people. Now, I'm going to say this to you. You can get so churchified and get your only perspective from these four walls, and you miss people out there.
I know that's right.
You can't even see them.
Come on.
You don't see them right. Yeah. You don't see their needs.
Yeah.
You don't see their lives. You don't see what they're going through.
Wow.
Well, I've been fortunate. The Lord has kept us traveling up until last year. But you know what? I had to keep seeing people.
Right.
I am made that I have to see people. Another thing you have to see, in the midst of confused noise and all of your emotional upheaval that you go through, how are you keeping perspective and hearing? Because God says in the book of Isaiah, I want to penetrate that confused noise. Another thing I saw with a lot of us, and you know, I can be one of the world's worst in this, the Lord has to remind us, let things play out. Don't try to get out there and do the sidewalk with a blizzard going.
That's so good.
It ain't going to, it's just wasted effort, people.
That's right.
You're going to have to let certain things play out in your life, stand back, look at them, then know that He's got a plan for you. Because here's two scriptures you can't forget. He always has a way of escape.
Always.
He always has a place of refuge. Always. He is our refuge. Anytime, and I've probably done this, I read two books. If I ever get in an anxious moment, I'll read To Kill a Mockingbird. Then I will read, and I started reading that when I was in the sixth grade. Sometimes would read it three times a year. That is what changed a big perspective in me. I also read The Hiding Place, how Corrie ten Boom operated in the midst of her captivity. See, there's always this way of escape and this refuge. Ain't no grave. Say it out loud.
Ain't no grave.
Then, here was one thing that I do want to say. How do you see from your preparation room? Now, I'm not a doom and gloom person and say, let's dig a bunker and, first of all, that is way too much effort for me. Dig a bunker and let's have down underground 10 years of supplies. You know, I just trust God a little more than that. But I do think you have to be prepared.
Yes.
I do think you need a preparation room. I do think you should be able to live 3 weeks. Then we can go in a different direction with you. But you've got to someone. My kids, they have great pantries to get full because they've learned. At Doris, we would always try to have at least 3 months. So if we were going to run out of this phase of our life, I could at least give you 3 months warning that I couldn't pay for it after 3 months. You see what I'm saying? You've got to have some sort of preparation mentality. You've got to be able to have things somewhere. Show that picture of our team here, Brian. You know, we had a team here. They ministered to people all over. People all over were ministered to. And the city cooperated with us. They left power on so people could come. But you've got to have a preparation room. One of the things all these people are doing are making a list of things they needed that they didn't have. That's all you have to do. Then you set up a room and you make sure you know where that closet is or somewhere in your house. If you're in an apartment, you can still find a place somewhere for it. And you're ready for something in the midst of it. I love Penny Jackson. You know, she stayed in touch because Houston, you know, it froze. And she said, well, I have my preparation closet. I have my closet, my hurricane closet, because they have hurricanes. You know, remember Harvey, remember several of the hurricanes. She said, so, you know, I started thinking about, well, I just need something a little sweet and fun. Maybe I'll go to that preparation closet and see what I put in there last year. She said she started digging through it, and all of a sudden she came to this box. Well, you know, the older we get, our eyesight isn't sometimes just right, and we can lose just natural perspective. But she found this box. She said, oh my gosh, it's going to be a box of chocolate. She pulled it out. It was her bullets. And it was like the Lord said, bite the bullet and go with me.
That's good. That's good.
See, you got to, and some way or another, if you lose joy in the midst of all your crisis,
right,
you're going to be in trouble. Now, let me end this by showing you something. Here was Chad's perspective when I called him. He was kicked back, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm staying hydrated. I said, are you preparing for summer? What are you doing? He said, I just feel like I got to keep hydrated in the midst of all this. That was his perspective. But you know what? If God was telling him, he's going to give you a whole message on how if you don't have water, you're going to get awfully dry.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
See, that was his perspective. So every 6 hours when disaster would hit, I would write back and say, I hope you're hydrated. We have no electricity, no water. He said, I'm hydrated. Now, notice this. Lisa saw this whole thing she was in from her fireplace. Well, here's what I went through with my fireplace. Pam looking at me when the house is 42 degrees saying, I told you I wanted a wood-burning fireplace. And you just had to have that button thing. I said, well, I've got a fire pit outside. She said, it is too cold to build a fire outside. Lisa saw this whole ordeal through her fireplace, and I'm going to have her share on that more than others. Let me show you. Go ahead, Brian. She went back to a prophetic word, and it said this. This is the time I'm dealing with the ashes. I'm sending my rain upon the ashes in your life. See, all of a sudden, her whole perspective came from what God had said to her. And in that mixture of ash and rain, I'm forming a new substance to put on the potter's wheel. Do not think the ashes are trash, but they are a substance from which I can do a new work and form a new thing in you. And I remember growing up, they would take the ashes from the fire. They had this big black pot, and they would make light soap from the ashes. There is life in the ashes when I breathe on them and send my rain. So watch for me to water the ash in your life and bring forth new life from it. Incredible perspective. So, look what she did on her fire. She cooked. Well, you know, I can't stay. I get out and about. Whataburger's line was 14 miles long. See perspective. Now, let me show you this. Robert Heidler, he said this. It was just incredible. On February the 18th, I said, you know, on February the 18th, that swamp thing was supposed to end. He said the swamp froze over. Wow. He said the swamp had to freeze so we could find our footing to get out of it.
That's so good.
Thank God right now the swamp that you've been in has been frozen enough that you are truly in a new place. Wow. Linda went to the Word. I love how she does that. She and Ann, Janice. She said, when the Almighty scattered the kings, it was snowing in Zalmon. From Psalm 68, she said, kings that were ruling over us are now being scattered. That's awesome. The word Zalmon means shady. Things that were going on shady now will be found out.
Hallelujah.
Janice wrote me and sent me that scripture, snow houses laden with treasures laden with snow. She said, snow all over our houses. God is preparing treasures for us to find we've never found before. Lisa, because she's just in her fireplace focus. She said, I am going back through a time to rekindle the altar fire. When she got in the Word, she found how once a year those going to Jerusalem would bring an offering of ashes to the priest. The kids just saw it like this. It's snowing, let's go play. But see, you can't take that joy away from them. They get cold enough, they'll see it differently. But I notice with many of us, we try to take, because of what we're going through, the joy of the moment from someone else. Don't do that. Then finally, this is what I don't want you to do. I don't want any of us to do. Penny Jackson sent me this also. She said, I will say this. Yesterday, after everybody had had their water overnight, they all went back to their normal lives, had their waters turned back on, the whole neighborhood. And what she would do during this time is write me how her whole neighborhood was coming together. I could watch them driving by and go in different places, and that was sort of different and hard for me yesterday, because it was like all of a sudden the closeness in our neighborhood had shifted it back to it's just normal. But I'm telling you, during the crisis, it was a well-oiled machine. In your crisis, don't shift back to your normal.
Yes.
Don't try to just go back to where you were. You might want to go back to where you were in the midst of how you live, but not emotionally. There's a reason we go through what we go through.
That's right.
Because you have to understand, he's building things in us for our future. Doesn't matter where you are out there, whether you're in Korea, whether you're in China, that crisis is creating a moment. The moment is creating your future. And all of a sudden, you're gaining God's perspective. See, that's all I want to say. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I want you to see this mess the way I see this mess. I want you to see this crisis the way I see it. See, a crisis is going to always push all of the bad stuff out. I would have so many people send things to me and say why Texas was under judgment.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, in a crisis, when someone is dying, and you're ministering, let me just tell you something pastorally. And you're having to go over while they're dying and their family there. And their family has trusted the whole time for him to be healed. But his ways are not our ways. Don't tell them what all they did wrong. Don't tell them why God's doing this. You know, he can let you figure it out. I want to end by saying this. Remember, Pam's promise was, when she was barren and couldn't have children for 10 years, was, you will have twins. God gave her a scripture, had it written in her Bible. Well, the third pregnancy she had, of course, was twins. Carried them full time, and they both died. Well, the hard thing about that was the promise that had gotten us all the way to that point in our life. So how are we going to see from that? Something happened in both of us separately. What happened in me, Penny and I were going to the hospital when they called to say the second twin wasn't doing well. And all of a sudden, one had already died. All of a sudden, I felt my emotions go toward this second twin. Well, we're just going to rally and we're going to pray. And all of a sudden, God took his hand. I can still feel it to this day. And went like that on me. He said, your emotions will align with me. See, I'm telling you this because I spoke on joy, I've spoken on emotions, but some way we don't get how God has ways to make you what you're supposed to be and to do things in you. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, it is not my will for children to die, but this is my will for your life. In all things, give me thanks. Yes. All of a sudden, I started weeping. And Penny said, I think Chuck will make it through this. It'll be all right. I said, I'm weeping because God spoke to me. We got in that waiting room down at wherever we were in Dallas. And this old man came over with his Bible open and said, I have watched you the whole time you've been here. I know you're a Christian. I know you love the Lord. I actually know who you are. You don't know me. And last night I interceded for you, and God gave me this scripture. He said, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God for your life. He said, this situation has to do with you and what he's going to do with you in the future. God is working. See him in every moment of your life. Don't be afraid to go where he sends you.
That's right.
Paul could see him in Athens. He found one of their gods to communicate the living God to them. It's all in your perspective. And if he came to earth today, would he find faith? Capture what comes out of your mouth that's not faith. Because we are going to have a faith explosion in the future. Let's stand up.